Let's call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record indicate that it is 3:15 p.m. on Wednesday, June 15, 2016. Present, we have Representative Wilson, Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Vice Chair Sadler, I'm Co-Chair Thompson, and Co-Chair Newman, Representative Munoz, Representative Edgman, Representative Gaddis, and Representative Guttenberg. Please make sure your cell phones are off. Okay. Today we'll be taking amendments and moving House Bill 246, ADA, funds, loans, programs, and dividends. Okay, at this time we're going to take up amendments, and I offer amendment number one.
I object.
Where is it? We've been joined by Representative
Guerra.
Okay. I would like to ask Ada to come up and explain amendment number one. Place yourself on the record. Representative Ryan Bolden joined us in the audience also.
Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio for ADA, and with me is Deputy Commissioner Fred Parity from Commerce. The effect of amendment number one is to modify the current prohibition in the bill that if you're developing an oil and gas field and you want to utilize the financing that would be offered by this new proposed fund, from the day you initiate that lending or that borrowing, you would not be able to request credits for the development beyond that point. You would voluntarily give those up. What amendment number one does is sort of shrink that prohibition, so the prohibition against future tax credits is limited to the infrastructure that the ADA loan actually helped to make. So if you do additional drilling in the field or delineation, you would still be able to apply for credits for that, but not for the infrastructure that the ADA loan program helped to build.
Representative Guerra.
So there would be no prohibition. You get financing for a project, and you could still get tax credits for different portions of that same project. Is that correct?
Basically, Representative Guerra, if they took out a loan to build a warehouse up there, then other things that they did besides what the loan was specifically for would be eligible for credit. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
But they couldn't double dip on the warehouses that using it as a infrastructure bill. Is there another question over there? Representative Guerra?
Yeah, the tax credits just pay, they don't apply to the portion of the projects. They apply to your overall spend. So how do you know, I mean, the tax credits apply to your overall spend. How do you know what they're using the tax credits for?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Gene Terrio. I think lines, the last part of lines 4 and 5 of the amendment basically say that for the development financed under this new program, whatever is financed under this new program would not be eligible. The developer would not be able to count those expenditures and apply for a tax credit, investment credit from that expenditure.
Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think what I'm hearing you say is we're excluding from the tax credits what you may have borrowed under this program. So what you borrowed from the state under this program are exempt from the tax credit program. Said a different way, just be sure I understood.
That's correct. You would not be able to apply for a credit against that expenditure.
Thank you.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess my question would be to somebody from revenue, if the ability to track, or maybe the deputy commissioner would get it. There's revenue right there. The ability to track the differences between the loan under this program and the credits. You'll be able to segregate those out and account for them separately. Be careful, the cops are coming.
I'll wait for a second.
Yeah, wait a second. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Mr. Burnett, place yourself on the record.
For the record, Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. To the chair, to Representative Guttenberg, the way this is written, it says, for expenditures on the oil and gas infrastructure development financed under 4488808. So when you apply for a tax credit, it's either going to be a net operating loss credit or it's going to be a specific directed credit. A net operating loss would be reduced by the amount of expenditures on this, so it would reduce that credit the way this is written by an amount of equivalent to what was, or the expenditures applied against the credit on a net operating loss, and if it was a direct credit, it would be the same thing. So yes, you'd be able to track that amount of expenditure and apply it this way.
So if I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg. Hold on. We're back on the record. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burnett, my questions are just trying to, I guess, mechanical, or process. So they don't get a credit until the work's done anyway. Is that right?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, expenditures have to have been made
right
prior to a credit
so that
applied for.
So with that rule, there would be no way that they would get both of them at the same time.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to try to understand the original deletions, the 043 credits, what are the 043 credits and what are the 025 credits?
To the chair, Representative Kawasaki, I'm not able to answer that question off the top of my head. I believe that's an expiration credit or some, and the 023s or 025s are, again, one of those is a net operating loss that's credit, and the other one I'm not positive what.
Mr. Theriault.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe that is correct. And under the original wording of the bill, once ADA financing was utilized for some of the surface infrastructure, you would have been prohibited from accessing credits for that type of activity, even if it's drilling, downhole drilling. Your amendment basically restricts that prohibition again to that surface infrastructure, and so therefore it does not impact the downhole drilling credits. Those would be left in place.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Seeing no further questions, is the objection maintained?
Objection removed, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chair.
Any further objections? Seeing none, then we have passed amendment number one. Okay. Moving on to amendment number two, Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number two.
Okay. There's an objection for purpose of discussion. You have a
yes, sir.
Conceptual.
A brief bit of explanation, and I'm going to move a conceptual amendment to this amendment. First of all, during the discussion of this bill originally, the bill's primary purpose is to create an oil and gas infrastructure loan fund. But in reviewing the bill, there are some plus-ups, some increases in the participation limits that ADA could take place in with other loan programs, the Sustainable Energy Transmission Supply Loan Program and its Arctic Infrastructure Loan Program. So the purpose of my amendment is to try and have the same kinds of sideboards and limits on the dollar amount and participation by percentage on the existing programs as is proposed for this new oil and gas program. Having drafted that bill, I realized I made a slight error, so I would like to offer a conceptual amendment to amendment number two, which will include, I can pass around a copy of that, sir, if it'd be easier than trying to explain it.
Then we'll do a brief at ease.
Okay.
We're back on the record. We have had amendment number 2 introduced, and Representative Sadler, did you want to make your amendment to amendment number 2?
Yes, sir. I move conceptual amendment to amendment number 2.
I will object for purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As members have in their hands a copy of the amendment number 2 marked up with the additional conceptual remarks, for the record, they would be on line 3 of this amendment. It would insert before paragraph, before parentheses A, the words "the lesser of." Also, the second amendment, second element of this would be on line 10 of the amendment 2. It would, I'm sorry, line 9. It would include the words "the lesser of" before paragraph 1. The third element of the conceptual amendment to amendment number 2 is on page, oh goodness, on page 8 of the bill, line 7. So go to page 8 of the bill, line 7. Following the last word "than," it would insert the words "the lesser of." That's page 8, line 7, after the word "than," insert the lesser of. Mr. Chairman, the purpose of these conceptual amendments to amendment number 2 is simply to provide a clear test and a clear direction from the legislature to ADA of what the caps should be on the loan programs for the sustainable energy transmission supply, for the Arctic infrastructure development, and for the newly created or proposed to be created oil and gas fund.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the amendment, we're going from $25 million to $100 million, or the lesser of. And if I may make a question to the...
Yes, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. So I have two concerns. One of them is, what difference does it make if it's not monetized, because the funds aren't monetized yet? And my concern is somebody might want to, depending upon what level we monetize the fund at, $100 million, somebody might come in and, depending upon what level we monetize the fund at, with a large project, take all of the funds? Or how will ADA handle that?
Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio. The representative is correct that the SETS fund and the Arctic fund are not currently capitalized. ADA may have a project that presents itself that lends itself to actually going to the bond market to capitalize the fund, or the legislature sometime in the future may capitalize the fund. I think the board would, if a large project came in and it was going to use all of the available funds, the board, I believe, would take that into consideration, whether that would be a smart step to make. One correction that I would just like to make is that the hard dollar, $100 million limit here really only applies to the direct loaning. The representative made reference to the existing suggestion that the loan guarantee amounts be adjusted from $20 million to $25 million. Those will not be impacted by this. This just puts a hard dollar amount for the direct lending of $100 million. So from both the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, and currently the language in bill includes a $100 million cap for the proposed oil and gas fund, you'd be able to loan up to 50% of a project, mm-hmm. until that 50% got up to $100 million, right. And then you could not exceed it.
Right.
Unless you came to the legislature and got specific approval to exceed that amount.
If I may, Mr.
Representative Guttenberg.
So, recognizing sometimes $100 million, whether it's an oil and gas project or an infrastructure project with a new port or something in the Arctic infrastructure, what would the perspective that the board would look at on its diversification, putting so much of a fund into one project?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that if the fund is not capitalized and a project comes, say that it's at that $100 million level, and the board feels like they'll be able to go to the bond market to capitalize, mm-hmm. the fund to fund that project, I think they would likely evaluate that, and if it cleared all the due diligence, they would do the bonding, the money would come in, and the loan would be made. That could be a way that the fund initially gets rolling, as far as payments then coming back and being retained for new loans. And although that would be a loan that would use up that the total available cash, it would set the authority up then to make loans in the future, absent a general fund appropriation, which looks like it's not likely to come anytime soon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do like the concept. I just don't, I think there's some more churning on it, but I think the amendment's an interesting concept.
Sure. Co-Chair Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Terrio, why was the original cap set at, why was it at $25 million and now to $100 million? That's a considerable jump. And what was the discussion behind why it was set at 25?
Going up from 20.
Yeah. Originally at 20.
Mr. Chairman, the $20 million and the being adjusted up to 25, that's on a loan guarantee. This amendment won't change that. That's the loan guarantee. This amendment only applies to direct lending and would place a $100 million cap on direct lending, beyond which the authority would have to come and get direct legislative approval. So the legislature, in setting up the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, established a $25 million cap on a loan guarantee. ADA can go beyond that, but again, has to come back and get legislative approval to do so.
Representative Newman.
Thank you. So the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund and Sustainable Energy Transmission, so they can, if somebody wants to, I'm going to make a guess here, make a port in Kotzebue or Nome, northwestern Alaska, for Arctic infrastructure development. Is this the type of projects that you're considering, or is this under consideration?
Mr. Chairman, I think the suggestion of an Arctic port would be something that would fit under the Arctic Infrastructure Fund. And currently, that fund, which was established by the legislature, has no limit, upper hard dollar limit, on a direct loan. And this would place that $100 limit. That means that a project could be a total of $200 million. ADA is limited to only 50%. And if we wanted to go beyond that, if authority wanted to go beyond that, it would have to come and get specific legislative approval to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions. I'm not 100% sure if I support this, but the for making the loan more than 50, even though it's not capitalized, does that at all risk exposure from ADA just for having that empty authority?
Now, Mr. Chairman, I believe to the representative's question, it allows us to set the mechanism up so that somebody that is interested in it can see the rules. And ADA believes that there is value to that because, again, if somebody wanted to come with a very large project, they would have to come to the legislature to get approval anyway. At that same time, we could request capitalization of the fund, but at least now this legislation allows the authority to set up the rules, to set up the regulations, so they can see how the program will work.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. The last time that we worked on the SETS fund in particular was when we did the Interior Energy Project, and so we had a special legislation for that. So I'm reading the section of the bill, and many of us voted for that bill at the time. My worry is that ADA would enter into a loan for up to $100 million, but then they just wouldn't have to come before the legislature at that time? Or would they still have to come before the legislature for the capitalization?
Right. Mr. Chairman, if ADA had the ability to go out and bond to capitalize the fund, yes, they would be able to go up to that limit. Alternatively, sometime in the future, the legislature may have money to capitalize the fund. But to this amendment establishes that hard dollar upper limit, that anything beyond that, as far as a direct loan, we would have to come back and get the authority before the loan could be made.
Just one more.
One more, Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. And the ADA currently has a bonding capacity cap set in statute. Are we meeting that cap right now, or is it still, there's still some wiggle room around that? And I think it's a rolling, I think it's annually, you have a certain amount that you can bond for.
Mr. Fair? Chairman, if I remember correctly, it's $400 million on a rolling 12-month basis. And I don't believe we're anywhere close to that cap at this point.
Representative Sadler, did you want to reply to that question?
Yes, actually, Mr. Chairman, I believe I might have some information that would help clarify some of the questions and might bring some clarity to things. First, this amendment does not affect loan guarantees. Those are, in the bill before us, those are proposed to be raised from $20 million to $25 million for loan guarantees. My amendment does not touch those loan guarantees, only direct loans. Second, right now, there is no hard dollar limit. So for a direct loan, ADA can loan up to 50% of the capital cost of a project with no hard dollar limit at all. It could be $1 billion, $5 billion, $10 billion, $100 billion. There is no hard dollar limit. This proposes to put a $100 million limit on it, which is drawn from the limit on the oil and gas structure, which the rest of the bill envisions. It's set at deliberately far out, you know, pretty high level, such that we give ADA discretion, and it's got its own lending parameters and the evaluations it would use. This just tries to impose the same sideboard at a far level to protect. And third, I want to clarify that there is no place where this amendment proposes to change anything from $25 million to $100 million. No, it doesn't happen. So that, I hope, answers some of the questions. I don't know about the capitalization. And the whole goal is to make sure that if there is a large project, ADA would like to function, like to finance, that they would come back to the legislature outside that $100 million or 50% participation level to get our approval. That's the goal. Hope that helps.
Representative Kawasaki.
I get it. I think it's actually, and I appreciate that from the previous speaker, that it is sort of, I guess it's just a policy call, and I appreciate putting some sort of a hard cap on there. I think the legislature should be somehow involved in the approval process when it comes to that size of a chunk of money. I don't know if the $100 million is the right number. I just thank you for the clarification.
It does put a limit on it, though, that we don't have at the present time. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank the sponsor of the amendment. So a question to ADA. It deals with due diligence. So if you can make a loan, this loan, do you, in the history of ADA, have you loaned the first $100 million or the last $100 million, and who does the due diligence? Do you have the due diligence inside the agency, or does that, you know, who takes care of that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Guttenberg, we had the slide in our slide deck to you that outlined our detailed due diligence process, mm-hmm. and that process is conducted by staff with technical assistance contracted as necessary.
Okay. Representative Edgman, followed by Representative Newman.
Thank you. So the intent of the bill really is to, as it reads here on slide 6, support small and medium-sized oil and gas developers statewide. Might not this $100 million cap stymie your ability if you do get a medium-sized developer coming forward? And you know, ostensibly, this is a company with proven reserves, or somebody that's actually found something. And you're not going to have too many of these on your portfolio, it would seem to me anyway. But what happens if you got a company that needed, you know, $150 million and it was one or two sort of entities that was participating in this fund? Might we be taking away some of the board's flexibility to work with a medium-sized developer by putting a cap like this on them?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Edgman, if I could take first crack at that. Note that if you look at the structure of the bill, this began as a 33 as a 30% or 33% limit and lifted to 50, and now is being accompanied by a hard dollar cap. So at 50%, that's actually a $200 million project in aggregate. And so that is a judgment call that's before you today, but that's a substantial level of activity. It's not unlimited, but we have the ability then to come back to this body if the need is for a project greater than that.
Yeah.
So as to that level of where that finance is, it appears to me to be in the ballpark, but it's the first time we're establishing it, so then you'll have to get some history with it to be able to judge it.
Follow up, Representative Edgman.
Yeah, so, and that's a reasonable response. What I'm hearing from you then is that the number is my microphone is actually working here or not.
So it seems to me then that what you're telling me is that the number works right now, and you have to come back to the legislature for a higher number for authority. So I think what I'm hearing you saying is that the board at this point would be okay with this number, and it wouldn't unnecessarily restrict or hinder your ability to deal with this large or this medium-sized gas developer that might come in with some kind of proposal, but you have to go to the legislature to get approval for it. That's what I'm anticipating. I know you're a board member, Mr. Paradis, so I pose the question to you, thinking that my question may be rhetorical. I don't know. It seems that you think that this number is fine, this cap is fine.
Mr. Chairman, my answer to that is yes, sir.
Co-Chair Newman, followed by Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner. One's acting commissioner. I know that there wasn't a limit on there, and I don't know why there wasn't a limit put on there prior. But to me, $100 million seems like a lot of money. And ADA is still a subsidiary of the state. You know, you still have to back up those loans. Convince me why $100 million, why I should feel comfortable with that without you simply just coming to the legislature and saying we have a request for $100 million, you know. Why would I feel comfortable with this, with the state and the fiscal situation that we're in right now?
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chairman Newman, members of the committee, I would give you a two-pronged response to that question, and it's a very astute question. The first would be that ADA's balance sheet, ADA's lending, is not an obligation of the state, moral or otherwise. That's why we're set up as a distinct corporate enterprise. And so the credit of the state, if you will, is not extended through ADA. And the second response I would give to that question is to the maker of the amendment's original point that the $25 million limit is the limit of ADA's ability to guarantee. When we're dealing with this $100 million or 50% limit, that's a limit in a direct loan. So in that context, when you're financing that in the market, that has to stand on the merits of the revenue of the project and the project itself, because it can't rely on ADA's balance sheet.
Representative Newman.
Another question. Mr. Paradis, or Terrio, does ADA currently have anything else in your portfolio that's upwards of $100 million like this?
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chairman Newman, members of the committee, to my best knowledge, the Ambler project, the Red Dog project, was the major project that was in this realm. I don't know of another single project that approaches these dimensions in our portfolio.
Representative Newman.
Have you had any requests for anything, any loans like this?
Mr. Chairman, I know from a discussion in an earlier committee, Director Springsteen indicated that he has been approached by oil and gas companies. The way it is structured, though, we're not able to disclose that. That's a part of the beauty of ADA. Just like a private lender, if you approach them, you know that that's confidential. But in fact, there have been expressions of support, people that are interested in continued lending.
I thought there was something that started it.
Representative Newman,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the last two questioners were responding to the same thing that I was going to ask. I guess my bigger concern is, so as an entity that is not part of the state, if you will, is my bigger struggle, and we've talked about it before, is the fish church. So how do we stop as we get our fingers and fiddle with this? So now we're at 100 million, and not only do those folks that come forward asking for that loan, so now we know who they are and all those things, because at 100 million is when we now get to fiddle around and then do things that, quite frankly, people that do their due diligence and your agency should do, and I'm not sure that we even have the qualifications to do that. So I understand the maker of the amendment. I know where he's going as far as to limit, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure if we want this to be something that is not political, then why are we inserting ourselves in there? And I guess that's where I struggle with that. So tell me why at $100 million that we should insert ourselves, and then the rules, if you will, of knowing who and what the project is, basically who would come forth if they knew that it becomes now public knowledge?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Representative, members of the committee, I would offer again a two-pronged response. The first is that I would trust that when the $100 million project came forward, it would come forward out of ADA's due diligence process. And although I know there's history where I hope it's the exception rather than the rule with the Fish Church, you're always subject to the appropriation power of this body. So I will leave that to continued legislative judgment and just suggest that ADA would put its best foot forward through the criteria we have in our evaluation process.
Mr. Chairman, also, if I could just add to that, it's Gene Terrio. I know that from the time that there were some missteps in the past, the due diligence process has been strengthened. That was a real goal of Ted Leonard when he led ADA to make sure that process was strengthened to prevent that from happening. And Mr. Chairman, I would remind the committees, with the passage of House Bill 105 last year, I believe it was, there were a number of legislative authorizations where ADA was given the authorization to enter into a loan that never materialized. The project, for whatever reason, couldn't clear all the hurdles. And so as part of that legislation, we actually stripped off, if I remember correctly, hundreds of millions of dollars of authorization, where we were told to go ahead and investigate a project, but it didn't clear all the hurdles, and so therefore it never moved forward.
If that answers it for me, thank you.
Representative Gaddis, I know you have to be at a bill signing at 4 p.m. Okay. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't believe that I'm adding to questions on what I thought was a really easy amendment. Mr. Terrio, just so the rule basically was 50% of the cost, and now it's the lesser of 50% or $100 million, right, under this amendment. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the optics obviously are that this limits ADA's involvement. But by putting in by putting in the $100,000 suggestion, does that somehow encourage ADA to get involved with projects that are larger projects than they otherwise would have?
Mr. Chairman, to the representative's question, I don't think so. Certainly, ADA only wants to loan out the amount of money that a project can justify. And I don't think this dollar amount would drag that number up.
Thanks.
All right. Any further discussion? Any wrap-up? Representative Sadler.
In brief wrap-up, again, I understand the concerns about the risk of raising the amount of money that ADA could make loans on. I think it's been established that this is actually lessening and limiting the amount of loans. And again, the $100 million figure is before us in the original bill, and this amendment has nothing to do with that limit for the new oil and gas infrastructure.
All right. Is the objection maintained to the conceptual amendment number two?
No.
The objection has been removed on conceptual amendment number two, conceptual amendment to amendment number two. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number two as amended is approved. Next, we have amendment number three by Representative Wilson and Gaddis. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number three.
I'll object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What amendment number three does is it takes out tax credits even being part of this. It's my understanding that Ada is already making loans. This puts it all together. This adds another portion of that. And I guess my concern is that now that the state's in a different time in which we may not be able to pay the tax credits as soon as we were able to in the past, I don't want anyone to think that this is going to be in exchange for paying those things that we owe. I mean, maybe it's just the timing of putting that in with the fiscal issues that we have, because I don't necessarily believe that's the intent of the legislation. But I also want to make sure to our partners, the companies who may decide to go for this, that they're not having to give up something that they have earned in replacement of that. And so what this does is just deletes that portion, number two on page eight, out of the bill, and just allows the loans to go forward in the same way that they do now.
Mr. Parody, Mr. Terrio, in part of the discussion that I want you to address, if you're going to address this, I was reading this and I kind of felt like this was saying that okay, let's go to amendment number one. So they could loan on a warehouse up on an oil field, and this is saying that then not only could they borrow money from ADA for that warehouse, but they'd also be able to get a tax credit on it? Is that double dipping? I'm concerned. Straighten me out on that, please.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the certainly amendment number one, that prohibition that this amendment would remove completely, did shrink that prohibition so that you wouldn't be able to apply for the tax credit just on the infrastructure that ADA loaned money on. If this amendment went through, then you would be able to apply in the future. ADA has loaned you money. You've built surface infrastructure. You would also be able to apply for a credit on that expenditure.
On that loaned amount.
That's right.
Okay. Representative Sadler.
So actually, to the maker of the amendment, to clarify, this does not relieve the person investing for the necessity of repaying a loan to ADA for borrowing. So the state would still be made whole plus interest if they give a loan to build a warehouse, and the tax credit would be in addition to that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's correct. They would pay the loan. Currently, if a company goes to a bank now, they're able to utilize these credits and take them as kind of a down payment type, you know, waiting for payment to lower the loan that they have. That's how they're currently being utilized. My concern, the reason I brought forward this amendment, is I don't want it to appear that the state is looking at a different way of doing the tax credits by offering these loans, because it is something we owe. If we don't want to do the tax credits anymore, then we should just get rid of them, versus all of a sudden now that piece of paper you took may not get paid in the year you thought it would. It may be 5, 6, 7 years down the road because of our financial situation.
Representative Sadler, and I've got a question.
Yeah, brief follow-up. So I think the point I want to make is that it sounds like without this amendment, it makes it less likely that a company is going to make the investment to make a capital investment to help their business operate. With this amendment, it will allow somebody to make the investment, get the credit, and also the state will get repaid, plus we have the additional investment that would produce more oil, likely. So I think it's a good amendment for that purpose.
Mm. Representative Newman.
I'm not quite sure I see it that way, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to.
I haven't got it in my head yet.
Picture this in my mind. So a company can get a loan from ADA, start a project, and then apply and get credits from the state, and use those credits to pay the loan. Is that right?
Yeah.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, that is absolutely correct. Just like they do with a regular bank now, mm-hmm. would be the same process.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman.
Chair, through the chair. As we discussed in the first amendment about the double dipping, you know, we passed amendment number one to not do that. We have amendment three that does that. And I'm not sure that that's what we need to be doing. I do have concerns in the fact that, again, and we're not the bank, we're ADA, and ADA has other investment strategies that banks don't have. They have more opportunities. That's why we have ADA. We have ADA around so that when companies can't get loans from banks, they can go to ADA, non-typical type of things. And then so we're, Ms. Chair, very concerned that we borrow somebody some money and then they can take that and go get the credits to pay back the state that we just borrowed their money. We're paying our own loans back with our own credits that we give them. And I'm not sure that that's what the intent of this bill was, and I have concerns about this.
My concern, and I'm still not grasping this totally, that the company borrows $30 million to do a specific item on their land, on their project. Okay, so the project's completed. They turn in the credit against that $30 million worth of expenditure, and they get the credit back from the state on it. Now they've got that cash. They don't have to pay back the loan. Now they've got extra cash money in their pocket. Is that a possibility? I'm confused there on that, Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, it's currently being done. They would have two aspects, absolutely. They could pay part of the loan back if the company chose to. They could reinvest it and do more things in the fields that they were doing. This is actually the same practice that they're doing with banks now, is that they're able to utilize a certificate as basically a down payment that's going to be paid for. They would be able to do the same thing with ADA. ADA would, I would imagine, do the same thing the banks would do and would see that as being probably good money because it comes from the state of Alaska. They would still owe interest, just like they have the bank. They would still have to repay everything else that they have to do. What we're just doing is exactly the same practice as the private industry currently is doing on these certificates. So we're just not changing our practice at all because it's ADA.
This is the way that Bank America and Ing do it down in Cook Inlet. They're charging 20% interest because it's not sure the state's going to pay them for the credits to begin with. So this is the same type of thing that ADA is now the banker or the loaner. And the credits would be used to pay back ADA. Is this what you're saying?
Correct, Mr. Chairman. In fact, without these certificates, those type of institutions would have been charging, in my understanding, closer to 30 to 40%.
Yeah.
Because of the certificate, it does lower it to 20%. The aspect they have here is that if they were able to be able to meet all the qualifications of ADA, they might be able to get it lower than 20%. How much that would be and the difference there would be, I'm not sure. But it just keeps going on exactly the way the private industry does.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Terrio, can you tell me, with this amendment, does this, when it says the authority's financing commitment, would that sometimes be direct financing, so financing that would count on ADA's books?
Mr. Chairman, I believe, and perhaps the Deputy Commissioner can jump in.
Closer to the microphone,
ADA's financing commitment is when the actual loan is then put in place.
Either.
Mr. Chair, I meant would these be ADA loans using ADA, obligating ADA assets?
Yes, as either a direct lender or a guarantor.
Okay. Through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
May I make my comment on this amendment? Is this the right time?
Pardon?
May I make my comment on this amendment? Is this the right time?
Yes, we're going to come back to have a wrap-up in a minute, but I have a question yet, so go ahead.
If we're going to debate the amendment, I can do that later. I have my views on it, and I'll just save them for whenever the right time.
You mean on the bill itself? Or
no, the amendment.
Speak away, Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, it only has a certain amount of loaning capacity. They are part of what's left of the economic engine of the state. There are a lot of good projects out there for them to help with. There are a lot of businesses that can be started. There are a lot of projects that can be started. But if we start putting ADA money into businesses that are already getting tax credits, who are already benefiting from state money, that's less money going to other companies that might do good for the economy that don't get those tax credits. There's only a certain amount of financing capacity that a group like ADA has. I think the bill as written is fine. You can choose what kind of state money you want. You can choose tax credits. You can choose a loan. But if you get both, you're basically hogging up the money that would be available for somebody else in another business. And on top of that, I sort of see this as a double dip. I think, you know, these are both offers from the state. You get tax credits. You should be happy the state's paying you tax credits. Or you can get a loan. You should be happy the state is offering you a loan. But to say you want both, I think is too much. So I'm going to be opposing the amendment.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I read this right, this is exactly why people are cynical about state being in business. So let me walk through this the way I see it. They get a loan and a tax credit. They get it so that they could, once the process has been in place, they've gotten a tax credit. Let's say it's a warehouse. They can sell the warehouse for a profit. And pocket the profit that the state is actually fronted on. So they get a loan, then they get a tax credit for having built something they got a loan for. They can take the tax credit. It lowers their investment in a project, in a warehouse. They can turn around and sell it and make a profit. And still pay your loan back. So they're actually double dipping, which is what the co-chair's term was.
Gene
Terrio. I think the scenario that the representative laid out, certainly in a market where the value of the assets are going up, there's that possibility. Yes.
Is that any different than any other loan you do? You loan to somebody, they build a structure, and then they can turn around and sell it for a profit. Isn't that everything is like that you do, basically?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as long as the loan is paid back.
So how would you apply this practice to a project if under this scenario? Could you walk us through it? And I mean, is this good policy for you? I don't know. I mean, trying to figure this out still.
Mr. Chairman, to the chairman's question, members of the committee, the language that was in the original bill as presented was intended to narrow someone's ability. You have a choice to make, and I think that's the key thing that needs to come before the committee. You can either apply for the oil and gas tax credit, or you can use the loan mechanism, and this was designed to prevent your ability to do both. After the deliberations in the committee, the amendment number one that was offered by the chairman that was adopted limits that limitation to only those things that ADA finances. So you're free to pursue exploration tax credits or other tax credits that are on dollars outside of that ADA financing commitment. So you can choose to come into the loan program, or you can choose to stay. There's nothing that precludes you from the oil and gas tax credit prep application. It's your choice as to which you come into, but you can't do both. And perhaps one other comment, and I'll leave the microphone, is it certainly wasn't our intent to I think it's merely timing that raises the question Representative Wilson raised about oil and gas tax credits more generally.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. An observation, a question. I think the scenario that the representative from Fairbanks envisioned actually creates new wealth. If a loan is made to a company and that company is able to sell an asset that it created with that loan at a higher profit, or a profit, that creates new wealth in Alaska. And I guess two questions. One, for example, Red Dog, Mr. Parody, as you cited as the largest user of ADA's funding. If Red Dog sold off a portion or all of its operations at a profit to somebody that kept operating in Alaska, would that be contrary to ADA's mission or detrimental to Alaska's economy?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sadler, I'd answer that. No, it wouldn't be contrary to our mission or detrimental to the economy as long as the loans are repaid, which we're 25 years into that process today.
And with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, are there any provisions in ADA's loan agreements that block the divestiture of any or all of the assets obtained or improved with an ADA loan? Basically, is there a no-sale provision if you buy something or invest in something through ADA loans? Is there any provision that says you have to maintain it for 5, 10, 20 years or forever?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding, subject to the collateralization and security of the loans, I'm not aware of a timing provision other than the security to the loan.
As long as the loan's paid back and they meet the interest payments and the conditions of your loan, you're pretty satisfied. That's a question?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Representative Edgemont.
I guess I'm still lost. Is this amendment necessary or not? What this bill purports to do, I don't mean to be blunt, but I'm just...
It's a policy call.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's a policy call. The chairman's offered amendment number one sort of to split the baby. Whether you want to pull the prohibition out completely, it's a policy call. ADA will utilize the tool to its best ability, no matter what provisions you put into it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edgemont, I would answer that question more bluntly. We drafted the bill with the restriction so that we didn't have to deal with the two topics interfering with each other or interacting with each other. And my preference as a board member would be some semblance of the language as originally presented. As amended by amendment number one.
Representative Edgemont.
Okay, thank you. And that clarifies it for me.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think what I heard was the intent of the original bill, too, was to, I think what Mr. Parity said, was to either get the credits or to get loans, but not both. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We've been joined in the audience by Representative Seaton and Representative Keto. Okay. And wrap up, Representative Wilson.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So here's why I brought it forward. So I'm a small company, and I went out in good faith, and I got a loan. And I had tax credits that were going to be coming. I took my certificate to the bank, and the bank gave me a loan for 20%. Because the state has been very good on the tax credits and have paid them on a timely fashion. We can all argue whether or not we need to do that, but we've done a very good job as a state of paying them. Now that we're in a financial climate that we're in, we're not necessarily able to pay them as quickly as we can. So now I've gone to the bank, and the bank said, guess what, company? We can't cash this in. We don't know when we can cash it in, and now we're going to raise your rate to 40%. Well, that company's probably going to have to go look for another loan somewhere, and ADA would be one of those companies they could go and they could make that loan. They could make the loan if it's a good company to be able to do it, but now, not to any fault of their own, that these credits can't be paid any longer. It's a state that can't pay them. They now have to give something up so that they will be able to afford a new loan for a project that they went forward in good faith that the state put in place. So that's why I brought this forward. So I'm not changing anything that's happened in the private market. The reason I brought it forward is because it appears that ADA will be able to offer something that will be better than on the open market, because the state is now not able to necessarily pay all the tax credits when they're turned in and when they're due. And that, in my opinion, is just wrong. So it could be coincidental that some of this came at the same time, but I know that the loans that ADA are doing currently without tax credits being part of it, and they are making loans to people that I'm assuming can still get the tax credits because it's based on the due diligence, this just continues their practice as they currently are doing it, with no changes. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion. We have the wrap up already. Did you want to make a final comment
just
on the
final comment,
co-chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just it wasn't the intent of the original bill to do this. It was to take either or. And I think I do like the intent of the original bill. And the chair put some more sideboards on it. The vice chair put a little more sideboards on some of the other ones. Except that, but probably no on this one.
Reply, Representative Wilson. Final word.
Mr. Chairman, if we were not in the fiscal situation that we're currently in, and we are not making the payments to these certificates as basically we promised, and as we had in practice, then I probably wouldn't have a problem with having this in the bill if it was during times where we were making these payments. It just looks poor on us now that since we can't make the payments in the same fashion, it looks like we're doing an alternative in a loan program, but we're making them give up something that they did their due diligence, did a project based on it, and we're taking advantage of it, and that just seems the wrong way to do business. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to maintain my objection. Can we have a vote?
Representative Pruitt?
No.
Representative Sadler?
Yes.
Representative Wilson?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Garrett?
No.
Representative Guttenberg?
No.
Representative Kawasaki?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No. By a vote of 2 yeas to 7 nays, Amendment number 3 has been failed to be adopted. This brings us back to the original bill. Representative Sadler, can you walk us through the fiscal note? Fiscal.
Stand by, sir. Yes, sir. CS for HB 246 Resources has a single fiscal note. That being from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The appropriation is the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. The allocation is the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, OMB component number 1234, published on January 19, 2016.
Okay, we've adopted the fiscal note. House Bill 246 is now before the committee for discussion. Any further discussion? Representative Guerra.
Thanks, Chair. I'm sorry, I missed the number of the fiscal note, but that's the zero fiscal note, right?
246, I'm flipping through this now.
I always have a hard time finding the fiscal note numbers.
It's a zero.
There's no number on this one.
I guess
number
that's
1234.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 246, version 29-GH2613/W, as amended, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. We have now passed House Bill 246 from committee, and don't leave without signing the paperwork. Tomorrow's House Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for 8 a.m., where we'll hear House Bill 245 and take public testimony and amendments and also bills.
No public testimony.
Brief at ease. Thank you. I'll correct what I said. Tomorrow's House Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, where we'll take up SB 128 and amendments for it, and hopefully we'll be able to pass that from committee. And we'll also do bills previously heard. And with that, I recess this meeting to the call of the chair, and hang around to sign the bill, please.